Run, Anna, run. By Altariel. My brother always seized his chances. The little girl in his shadow hungered for this quality, so different from her own caution. He lurched through life from spectacular success to dramatic failure, a seemingly endless cycle of triumph and tragedy. I, in contrast, took my time, inching my way through the multiple choice, thinking ahead and through the game. In time, I came to see this prudence as autonomy, a solitary source of pride in an increasingly compromised life. Everything around me I shrouded in complexity, but, I believed, through it all, I walked my own path. The lives of others were mine to control, but the course of mine was my own to determine. In this dangerous pursuit of self-sufficiency, my precision and foresight protected me. I was rarely surprised. For those who direct the game, nothing can be left to chance. I did not then anticipate finding myself with only two options. I could live the life I'd always lived, grayscale compromise, endless sacrifice, or learning from my brother. I could step blindly into the dark, uncertain of success or failure, but taking the chance that had come to me so unexpectedly. In the end, as always, it all came down to who was holding the gun. I am sitting on the bed, watching the light from the level outside flicker on the wall opposite. 1-2, 1-2, a syncopated beat. These irregular rays have been cast on this room for almost an hour, since the main city lights began to dim, warning that the curfew is approaching. I am waiting in a small room that is like 100,000 others in this sealed and suffocating city, low ceiling, beige walls, the noise of strangers in enforced proximity, above, below, around. I am startled by the buzzer on the communicator. We talk in staccato, transmitting information in bits and pieces. Have you got the visas?
I got them.
We'd better get moving then. Where are you?
There's a problem.
What?
What's happened?
I've been shot. It only takes a second for the world to lurch out of control.
Anna, are you still there?
Stalling for time, I repeat myself.
Where are you, Avon?
Level 19, west, corner 13th and 2nd.
Can you move?
He doesn't answer straight away. Come on, Avon, we can't hang around.
Yes.
Yes, I can move.
There's a service lift on that block. Take it 2 levels up. There's an alleyway there, behind the lift. Wait for me there. I'll be...
Look at my watch. Calculate time and distance. 10 minutes. He doesn't think to ask how I know the city's secret places.
Anna, the curfew's about to start. Just wait.
And I cut the connection. So this is the point where the choice is made. Pull him in, or go with him. It only takes a second. Perhaps I've known for a long time that this is my only chance of escape. I run out of the room and down the stairs, taking them 2 at a time. On the ground floor, I crash through reception. The concierge yells after me that the curfew is about to start.
He is on the line contacting the security services about the curfew breaker within a few seconds. When they come, they decide to search the premises and find that one room is being used by a prostitute and arrest her and her client. They arrest the concierge too for allowing his property to be used in this way. He ends up spending 6 months in jail.
But I am out of the doors and onto level 32 northwest, thinking it's safer to take the lift, but faster to run, seeing the lights getting lower, knowing I only have 2 minutes before I really am on the run. So I do run, passing the lift where a plump little man is waiting.
The man is a lawyer, well respected and with a good practice. He goes back to his apartment, has an excellent dinner with his wife, and retires the following year to a comfortable plot on the east of the city.
And on towards a secondary stairwell I know where, here on level 31, I once stabbed a girl who was going to break my cover to some men who were, thanks to my activities, desperate enough to kill me slowly and bitterly. 3.5 minutes gone. Level 22. Last flight of steps, metal, feet clattering on them. They're not good to run down. Two steps are too much. One step slightly short. My calves are starting to ache from the awkwardness. I shove the door open that lets me onto level 21 at the intersection between 16th and 7th. 5 blocks down, 3 west. He should be there by now. 4 minutes gone. Zigzagging across the level's better, since though it slows me down, it means I'm ducking in and out of sight. These corridors are residential, row after row of apartments, 3 piled up above each other on each city level. Decent beta-grade accommodation, 15, 20 stops from the centre of the city on the subway. A stop at every corner, east-west, odd numbers, north-south, even numbers. The city's well planned, has to be, to fit this many people in. But this time of day the sub's not running and the levels are empty. Beta-grade's arrested on sight-breaking curfew. Someone like me, well, I've spent a lot of time outside. And I've got clearance, though there'll come a point tonight when I can't use it anymore, when I'll be outside for good. 2.5 minutes left, turn south, got a good clear view down the level, should see any trouble a mile off. Reach the corner where he called me, there's the booth. Someone in there, shouting, are they having as bad a night as me?
She is so distressed at what they've said to each other that she stumbles out of the booth, unaware of what's going on around her, and walks straight into a trooper making a routine sweep along 3rd. She's arrested for breaking curfew and, since they always need more mutoids, ends up in the service herself.
Not my problem. At the alley now, it's hidden, tucked away beside the service lift, halt at the entrance, breathing ragged, leaning my left arm on the wall. Avon? Voice wavering from the running, maybe from fear. Avon! More urgency this time, figure moving towards me. See his arm clutched across his chest. Starting to think how the hell I can get us out of here unseen. Maybe I shouldn't even try. Maybe I should patch it up, wait here till curfew ends, and then get out. You! Hold it there! Turn my head to look round. Should have expected it. Can't run through a city under curfew without attracting attention. God knows I've relied on that enough to pull in people running from me. But where the hell are all the stupid troopers when you need them? The ones that can't fucking fire straight? Normal circumstances, I'd be glad of these two on my side. Come out of there! Raising my left hand to show I've heard, licking lips which are ash dry, ignoring the gasp of pain of the man behind me, stretching my right hand hidden in the shadows down to my side to reach for a gun that isn't there. I'm never unarmed, I'm never unarmed. God help me, if I get out of this alive, I'll never fuck up like this again. If they come closer, they'll see not just me, but him. I can't protect both of us. Suck breath into lungs still hurting from getting here and step into the street, ignoring the voice behind, whispering my name. Put your hands on your head and walk towards us. Obedience suits civilians. They told us that in basic training, and right now I look like a civilian. Raise my arms as instructed, move towards them. 2 blasters trained on me, trained on my heart. Obedient civilians are what we expect. Civilians who belt out with one arm and send a trooper flying and then break into a run are not. I've no illusions. I haven't got a chance. And I do it anyway. Stop! Stop right there! Shoot a glance over my left shoulder, see him take aim and... Later, his written report having finally reached the desk of an undistinguished-looking yet politically significant individual, he's called in to account for the events of the evening. Impressing his superior with his answers, he's moved into intelligence. On his first solo mission, he's shot in the leg and bleeds to death in a squalid room near the docks on Io. My fingers trembling, touch the red rose unfurling across my white shirt, and I am out of time.
Stop!
In the dark, where you and I could be without deception, in that timeless place, where the only mark of time is the counting of heartbeats, there is only you and I. Do you believe in fate? He brushes the hair from my face. I'm surprised you're even asking me that. Sometimes you surprise me. Only sometimes. Have I offended your sense of mystery? Often, then. Thank you. Well, do you believe in fate? He smiles. Crookedly. Oh, I think we make our own fortune. The light flickers haphazardly on the wall. 1, 2,
3-4. As the curfew approaches and the city darkens, these uneven rays have become mesmeric. This is a small room, like many, many others in this regular, regulated city, 100,000 pens full of citizens. The buzzer on the communicator sounds harshly. The conversation that follows is like code in its brevity. He has the visas, but he is shot. He is shot, but he can move. He can move, so takes directions. He takes directions, the call is over. The decision takes only a second. This is the escape that has been longed for. No other chance may ever come my way, ever again. But there's no guarantee we'll get out of this alive. I pause for a second, then turn to the cabinet, open the drawer, take out my gun, hide it in my jacket. Then I run out of the room, crashing down the steps, and I slip, sliding down 4 steps before regaining my balance. Limping through reception, I hear the concierge call out to me that the curfew's about to begin. I smile back at him. I'll get there in time, I say. He thinks for a moment about calling the security services, but doesn't. Walking through his premises later, he realizes the woman in room 29 has a client in there, and he contacts security then. They arrest the woman and the council member who is paying her, and the concierge is awarded a civilian commendation and run out towards the lift, since though it's slower, it is undercover, and I can rub my ankle back into action. And now I'm standing by a plump little man waiting for the lift, who's a lawyer, judging by the flash on his jacket pocket. He lets me in first. Hurrying to get indoors? Yes, yes. Which level do you want? 21. That's cutting it fine. You're telling me. He hits the button for me as I work on my ankle, and I see that the lift is going to stop at 4 other levels before it gets to mine. You should be okay. Well, here's my stop. Level 30. What sort of lazy bastard takes a lift down 2 levels? He heads off, and I decide that if the lift's stopping everywhere, I should cut my losses and start running. The lawyer heads back to an excellent dinner with his wife, and he dies, probably happy, of a heart attack during the night. As I pass him, he shouts, "Good luck!" And I duck into a secondary stairway to run down 9 levels of metal steps that are not quite steep enough for me to run down them comfortably. Within 3 levels, I can feel a pain shooting up from my ankle. Can't do anything for it now. Just got to concentrate on getting to where Avon is as quickly as possible. Seeing the painted sign on the wall for level 21 comes as a relief, and I push the door open, coming out on 16th and 7th. 5 minutes gone. 5 blocks down, then 3 to the west. I'd rather zigzag across the level, but I'm not sure I've got enough time to get there. I'm running south, straight down 2116, a long line of triple-stack beta-grade apartments. Lights on behind blinds. Everyone safe inside. Only people outside at this time of day are people like me. Seems like I've spent my whole life outside. Corner of 3rd, turn west. Running like crazy past a long line of apartments. Swing round the corner, 1 minute left. See the booth where he called me. Someone's coming out of it. She wipes her tears from her face. Stops to watch a woman run past her. Then she heads up 2113 towards her parents' apartment. Missing the trooper making a routine sweep and heading west along 3rd. She talks all night to her sister and wakes in the morning feeling better. She registers her change of address. Starts over. Got a view of the street ahead, but a bad view, a bad view. He's there on the street, and there are 2 troopers heading towards him. He left the alley. He left the fucking alley. I told him I was coming. I told him to wait. Did he think I wasn't coming? I'm only 30 seconds late. 1 arm across his chest where he's shot. He's barely standing, barely holding that gun straight, and those 2 troopers look pretty fucking sharp. Jesus, you get the dregs when you need backup, but not now. Not when it really would be useful. Avon, you need proper training to take these 2 on. Just put the gun down, put your hands up, leave this to the experts. Gun in my hand now, and I'm firing as I'm running. One of them down now, but the other one has his shot out a split second before I can get out mine. Hospitalised for 2 months afterwards, then invalided out of the service. He finds it hard to adjust to civilian life, having signed on as a 20-year man at 15. 18 months later, bloodstream full of shadow, living in a 1-room flat in the Delta levels. He cuts his wrists. Avon! I run past the 2 bodies, fall down next to him, breath ragged, not as bad as his. Scarlets unfolding like petals across his shirt, his features slackening, and I can't stop him slipping away. Stop! In that timeless place where we count the beats and deceive ourselves, This is where, if we could, we would be something other than just you and I. Watches me lie next to him. Abruptly, what would you do if I died? That's a strange question, my love. What would you do? What do you want me to say? Don't avoid the question. I wouldn't let it happen. He strokes the palm of my hand. You can't control everything. I can control enough. The light flickers. 1-2, 1-2. The buzzer sounds. There is a cry for help. I am still. My choices made a long time ago. Take your chance, my love. I, it seems, have a date with destiny. Chance would be a fine thing. This has been a recording of Run, Anna, Run, written and read by Altariel for Toft. You can read the text of this story and my other Blake Seven stories at my live journal, deadship.livejournal.com.